Creator and our God who art in heaven. As we approach you this morning, we're so very thankful that you've given us life and this opportunity to study more of who you are and who we should be within you. Father, we're very grateful, not only for this life, but for what Christ gave for us, that he was willing to give for us, and that we could have redemption and that we could have hope in you and have a relationship with you. And we're grateful, Father, that we can have a king and a Lord that we can serve, that not only was a perfect example, but is understanding and patient with us. We pray, Father, as we continue to mold our life after you and your word, that you would help us with that, and that you would help us with that in this class this morning. And we pray, Father, that you'd be with Adam as he directs our minds, and that you would be with him and help him throughout this class and be with each of us, and continue to be with us through this day as we recognize you for all that you've done for us. And we thank you for these things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. That didn't help me. That's like asking me to pick my favorite piece of pie and they're all the same size. So, we were visiting up in Greenwood, and Nate and Carolyn just happened to be there, and I was in a conversation with them about this, and I said, you know, I wasn't really sure as to what I wanted to teach on, and so they asked to hear what the three things were. And I showed them the same paper I submitted to the elders, and they said, ooh, creation and science. Let's do that. And I said, okay, well, you know, I'll keep that in mind, but we'll see. And then I came to the building, and Jacob was here working, and I told him my dilemma, and he said, ooh, creation and science. Let's hear that one. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. If you don't like it, you can blame those people all involved. We'll be doing this on Wednesday nights, though. We won't be doing this on Sundays. David, I believe, will be preaching on teaching on Sundays. Since Eddie is gone, and because we're having a Wednesday night singing, I'm going to do the introduction to my class today. The first thing I'm going to do is make sure you understand I'm terrible with PowerPoint, and I'm terrible with titles. Basically, what this study is we're going to go through and we're going to find out what the humanist, atheists, and any other istas out there are teaching to others and how they're grasping people away. You see, in the last 8 years, we've actually, the atheist belief and the humanist belief has gone up 15% to 20% in this country. And so it is a problem. It is something that we're dealing with. And one thing I like to do, and one of the reasons why I had three different things for people to pick from, is because I enjoy talking to people. I know that's a shock to those that know me, but I enjoy talking to people. And I enjoy talking to them about their belief systems. It's interesting to me. I learn from it. I get to listen to them tell me all about what they believe. And then I ask them questions about what they believe. And this normally opens the door for me to insert what I need to insert for the Lord. But I talk to them. And so for just a few minutes here, we're gonna talk about your conversations that you've had. But understand, we want to go to the source. And that's what Wednesday nights are going to be about. We're going to go to the people who teach. We're going to go to them and find out what they're saying and who they're aimed at. And so this is one of the books that atheists, I didn't put it up on the PowerPoint, number one, because I have no idea how to get this to there. And the other thing is, because I didn't know what the copyright laws were, so I was kind of nervous, so I just brought one of my books in. This is Richard Dawkins. He's one of the, I would say, the biggest leader in the humanist. He calls himself a Darwinian belief in how he supports with his scientific data. That's what I'm going to say. His scientific data. Those who are trying to teach atheism. But I want to read a few lines from his book, so you can see who he's teaching people to target. It says, "I suspect, well, I'm sure that there are a lot of people here, there, who have been brought up in some religion or other, and they're unhappy in it, don't believe it, or worried about the evils that have been done in its name." People who are vague, people who feel vague yearnings to leave their parents' religion and wish that they could, but don't realize that leaving is an option. If you are one of them, this book is for you. It is intended to raise consciousness, to the fact that the atheist is a realistic aspiration and a brave and splendid one. You can be an atheist who is happy, balanced, moral, and intellectually fulfilled. That's the second paragraph of his preface. He's targeting weak Christians like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He's targeting young people. Why young people? This is a class you could speak. Why young people? They're not setting their beliefs. What was yours?
Yeah,
same thing?
Impressionable.
Not setting their beliefs.
They question their parents.
What kid likes to listen to their parents? Yes?
I think young people want to, quote, be themselves instead of being molded by anybody else.
Absolutely. You know, what child out there doesn't believe that they're the only ones that's ever lived their experience in their life? You know, they can't talk to the parents because the parents would never understand. They can't talk to the parents because the parents wouldn't know what it's like to be them, wouldn't know what it's like to be in middle school, wouldn't know what it's like to be a teenager at all. And so he's targeting these young ones. This is being taught. Evolution is being taught at the lowest grade levels possible because we got to target those young ones. We got to stop the roots before they start to grow. In his book, he also makes mention, if you're one that is rooted in your faith, then this book isn't for you, and you'll probably see this as, why would he say that? Because you know everything after what he's about to say is going to be just complete belief, his religion. And I'm going to say religion. And you're going to hear me throughout our Bible classes refer to it as a belief system. He wouldn't like me to say that because to him it's scientific proof, scientific fact. But it is a belief system. And we'll discuss that and how we know that it's a belief system. I'll give you another one. If you feel trapped in your upbringing, ask yourself, is it worth it? I want to go on with that one. Pretty much says the same one. Okay. Such free spirits should only need a little encouragement to break free of the vice of religion altogether. At the very least, I hope nobody who reads this book will be able to say, I didn't know I could. So the tone, what kind of tone is he using in his book? What are you if you leave religion?
Spirit.
You're a free spirit, but what else? What else does he use? He uses a B word. Rhymes with rave. You're brave, right? This is how I get the teenagers to talk. Right? You're brave if you leave your religion. You're brave if you set out on their own. What child doesn't want to be a superhero? It's sad, but this is what's happening. We're continuing on. You know, they're gaining more and more every day and calling it scientific fact and not a belief system. They're not calling it a religion. but it is. Go ahead.
What's the name of that book?
This is by Richard Dawkins, and it's called The God Delusion. The God Delusion. Be careful, he has special words he uses throughout the text. Go ahead.
Is this the guy that died last year?
No, he's still...
He's still alive?
Okay.
Pardon me?
Go ahead.
Unfortunately, as you and I have talked about, I'm not going to be able to sit in here for this class because I get to take this and teach it to the junior high class. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I'm hoping to hit with them, and I think that those who are in here in this class will see it as well, this is now being presented as 100% fact. Mm-hmm. I'm very thankful I don't have to teach 8th grade science next year because this is one of the units that you are required to teach as a middle school science teacher in 8th grade now. And the way it's presented, it is so believable, it makes sense, and it almost sounds like, oh, you know, this has to be true because everything flows so well, it's perfect. We've got to be very careful to make sure we're looking and checking our facts with a lot of this, because again, it's going to sound totally believable because of the society we now live in.
Right, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to verify.
We're going to see if his belief system can be verified through science. Okay. One of the things that you're going to understand throughout this, and if you have already done a study, you'll understand that throughout these Wednesday night classes, all of this is based on assumptions. They have to assume a lot of things when they do this. Yes.
Based on the passages you read, what I see is almost an end game for Satan to break the family down.
Exactly.
And, you know, not only are we going to get you to not believe in God, but we're going to break those family bonds down so that when they come to you and say, no, let me remind you what we see, where the truth comes from, that bond is broken and they can't be reached.
One of the questions consistently done in... understand, you know, I want to make it known that these are not studies I've done to prepare for this class. These were studies I've done over the years for me, you know, so I've watched several things, I've read several things, the technology that brought us the audio book helps me out greatly, because I spend 2.5 hours picking up kids every day, so that leaves me with a lot of time on my hand to listen to a lot of books. And study this for myself and spend a lot of money on audiobooks. She's not looking at me happy. I didn't know that the library does that for free. So anyway, but anyway, in several interviews that I watched, where there's a Q&A session where atheists can ask the atheist instructor, how can we combat religion with what you just said? And he said, they're always going to throw it back in our face. So just tell them to prove God. Well, he's not of this world. He's outside our laws of physics, right? And we play this proof game. You know? And so you're right. The thing is that our child is going to come to us and ask us these questions that these atheists are telling them to ask. And at the very end, when we've answered their questions, they're going to say, well, fine, we'll then prove God. You know, prove the existence of God. Now, my children, they know that that's going to be a 5.5 hour everyday debate. But, you know, I believe that we can. But he is outside of this realm, you know. And so really the proof has to lie with the people that say that this is science. They have to be verified. These can't be assumptions. These have to be tests that we can redo over time. And that's part of verification, is not only can you teach it, not only do you have to have historical data, which means observable, right? But you have to be able to replicate the test and do it again, right? Well, they can't do that. They can't cause another Big Bang yet, right? So we're going to be talking about that. But right now today, what I want to discuss is I want to talk about your conversations with an atheist. I want to talk about what was... Do I have your, their attitude. I had to change this last night. So, what was their attitude? What was their defense? And how did it end? So give me some stories. Give me some feedback if you all have had conversations with atheists. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a friend who was atheist, and all he could say is there's no God. He didn't have anything else to say, those words. And out of three words, if you're going to prove something, and no matter how much I talked to him, he didn't want it to hear it.
Right.
And he just went on the assumption, well, you know. I said, well, how do you think the world got here? How do you think the trees got here? How do you think we got here? And he couldn't answer anything. Mm-hmm. But all his statement was, I don't believe in God. I'm thinking maybe something happened in his childhood where he did believe in God and, you know, got mad at God, more or less. Some people do that. And then, you know, like, this one lady in the doctor's office, she says, well, I prayed to God, and he didn't help me. Mm-hmm. I said, but you have to pray more than one time. And she just, you know, like that to me. It's like, you know, and I kept trying to say something, but she just didn't want to hear. Because if it didn't happen right away, then there's no God. Because he didn't answer my prayer.
So the attitude's kind of closed-minded, right, in your case. You know, a lot of times when they don't have the answer, you know, I would say you're right. They have some sort of background that led to them choosing not to believe in God. Believe it or not, most of the men, Richard Dawkins himself, you know, several of these men that we're going to debate, Tyson, Dr. Neil Tyson, Andy Thompson. We're going to talk a little bit about Bill Nye, and we'll talk about why he's in there. And some of the other experts that we're going to talk about, they actually all started off with families that believed in one deity or another, you know, and they broke off from there. And so they have a background, but all of them have the same story. I wasn't buying it. So they weren't rooted. They weren't taught to be rooted, right? And so that's, that. You know, all of them have that kind of story. What's, give me somebody else, give me another attitude. Go ahead.
I had an employee that worked for me at one time, and she was that way just because from her upbringing, you know, some of the bad things that happened and occurred to her during her upbringing, and she was like, how can a God let this happen?
Right.
So that she just didn't believe that there was a God, because there was no, you know, just the bad things that happened in her upbringing.
Wait, somebody over here,
Kurt,
do you have your hand up?
I had a psychology teacher in college that said if he couldn't see it, he wasn't going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I answered him. I said, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it, did it make a sound? And so, you know, he didn't want to believe because he couldn't see it.
I love that question, because then I go, yes, it made sound waves, but unless it actually had a receiver, did it make sound? Okay. But I won't get into that. That's my favorite question. So, go ahead.
A lot of the common theme I get is that earlier humankind could not explain a lot of things. So they used God to explain things.
Yep.
And
You gotta wait.
Okay.
Let me give you this real quick, okay? Yeah, hold on. Let me tell you. All right, so let me go through this real quick before somebody else gets bipped. And all right, so lesson one, we're gonna talk about Big Bang Theory. Basically, we're gonna stick with Dr. Neil Tyson's lesson plan. Okay, so we're gonna talk about him only. All right, and I say that because I have more material on other teachers, right? But if you bring those in, then the class gets longer, okay? And I only have one quarter. So we're going to talk about Neil Tyson only in lesson one, or unit one, I should say. We're going to talk about the Big Bang Theory, his theory of the fourth dimension, and the individuals that would be in those fourth dimensions. We're also going to talk about how he feels about religion and Christianity, why faith is wrong. Does his plan hold up to a checklist of his own checklist? Does his plan hold up to his own checklist? And then is his teaching science or is it religion? After that, we're going to do radiocarbon dating. Raise your hand if you're annoyed just by hearing that. Okay. We're going to go into that. We're going to go into the history of it. We're going to go with birth, the changes, everything. Can it be verified, and is this a belief or is this science? Then we're going to go into evolution. Evolution's going to be the rest of it, okay? Because I got a lot of material. Unfortunately, I don't have the time to go into every single minute detail of evolution. This is where a lot of my brain scrambling comes in because I keep putting things back in and taking things back out, and so, you know, I reserve the right to change my lesson in the middle of the sentence. So, but we're going to go through evolution, where the thinking started, its growth, its effect on people. We're going to talk about Richard Dawkins' mountain, his evolutionary mountain. We're going to talk about millions and billions, how he feels, why he believes religion is wrong. Does his plan hold up to his own thinking? Does evolution hold up to his own checklist of evidences? Is it science or is it religion? We're going to go into the evolution of thought. That's where you were talking. Towards the end. Okay. Towards the end. All right. So we're going to go into the evolution of thought, cognition. We're going to talk about Dr. Pinker, and he gets a lot of support from everything right now is coming from Dr. Dawkins, the guy who wrote that book. He's a big supporter of people, and he likes to fabricate data for their teachings. Let's see. We're going to talk about we're going to talk about cognition. We're going to talk about religion. They believe it's a byproduct. Okay, so that's where you're headed. But we're going to get to that, and then we're going to talk about the dangers of Christian Science. There is dangers in Christian Science. A lot of times, you know, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's when we try to use science to explain God. Okay, and I'm going to talk about the dangers of that. That's going to be the end of our class. We're going to talk about the dangers of that because there's a lot of dangers out there. This isn't science. This is historical. One of the things I have problems with, because I'm not going to talk about there, I'm going to talk about now. Anybody know who Ron White is? Anybody raise your hand if you know who Ron White is? Biblical architect, right? Or not architect, but biblical archaeologist, right? Okay. He has this insane idea that when he's walking around in certain areas, God comes over his body and he points and he says, this is where something is, and then he digs and finds it. I can't believe that, because I know that stuff doesn't happen anymore. Okay, but the things he finds, he puts in a museum. He found a wagon wheel, a chariot wagon wheel. And I see this taught in a lot of Bible classes. There's a chariot wagon wheel from when Moses closed the waters back over top of the Egyptians. Well, I mean, that's a possibility, but let's not say that's what it is, because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's under several sediments of rock, and he found that right on the surface. You know, so I have a problem with, you know, we're going to talk about the dangers of, yes, this is neat, but is this important for my salvation? Right? We're going to talk about that. Okay, that's going to be our last class. All right, so we talked about some of the attitudes. What are some of the common defenses that you hear when you talk to them? When you talk to an atheist, what are some of the common defenses that you get? Go ahead.
If God is good, how can there be so much evil in the world without God taking care of it?
Absolutely. That's definitely one of them. I kind of want to get into that next class, but I'll go ahead and say, you know, Dr. Tyson, one of his things that he says is we either can't have an all-good God or not an all-powerful God. Okay, and that saying has just drifted through there, and we'll talk about that. Anybody else? Give me a defense that they give.
You prove it.
You prove it. Exactly. I mean, we talked about that, right? You prove it, right? Okay. Of course, when an atheist says, I can't find God, that's like a thief looking for a cop, right? So, I mean, they're not looking for him anyway. Anybody else? Okay. Oh, go ahead.
About how, you know, Christianity has caused so much damage in the world, and that it's a closed-minded way mm-hmm. of thinking and not accepting people.
Right. And I mean, that's and it's not just Christianity, right? So when an atheist or when a humanist attacks religion, they're attacking all religions, right? So they're not just attacking Christianity, they're attacking Islam. And look at all the evil that they're doing, right? We're going to talk about that too. Any other defenses?
Truth is not absolute.
Truth is not absolute.
Yeah.
Truth is not absolute.
The old Nero mm-hmm. syndrome.
Truth is not absolute, yep. You know, they say nothing is absolute, but when you ask them if there's a God, they say no, and I say, are you absolutely sure? They just kind of stare at you like, I don't know if I can say that. So, you know, I'm not really sure. Any others? Go ahead.
Well, behind many of these, behind many of the belief systems is a goal of making money. So, mm-hmm. like L. Ron Hubbard was selling lie detectors and pamphlets and books for right. Scientology. So, you know, oftentimes you look at the root core, and they're making money.
Yeah.
And they're in it for themselves, really.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, not only are there money donations, but a lot of it's government grants too. Which is funny because in this book and in Dr. Tyson's book, several of his books, he likes to put in there how angry they are that churches get tax-free money. Well, so do they. So I don't really understand what the fight is over that. But what about how did it end? How did your conversations end? How did they end their conversation? They ended on a good note? Go ahead.
Typically, if I get in a conversation like this, it'll end along the lines of me giving this little last sentence. We both have faith-based beliefs right here. What's the consequence if you're right and we die? Mm-hmm. We go in the ground, we decompose, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. What's the consequence if I'm right? You die, you're not following God's will, you're in eternal damage. And it just usually ends right there when people get a thoughtful look on their face.
Okay. Any others? Anybody have one end badly?
Several.
Down in front of the Trump Towers in Chicago, there's the Church of Christ of Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
We went in there one day and we asked to find the church. You know, the Church of Christ, I said, what are you talking about, they ask. And I think that whole building right there is dedicated to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because they just made a mockery of it, and they mm-hmm. just really made us feel foolish, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they got it right over the building, Church of Christ,
yeah.
Scientology.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there.
It's another way for science to get money, basically.
God reveals, too.
What's that?
He reveals.
Yep. God reveals, is that what he said?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, he does. You know, a lot of times these can end badly. You know, these can end with slammed doors, whether they're metaphoric or physical. You know, a lot of times these can end with slammed doors. But what I want to focus on, the other thing I want to ask you today is, what was the atheist conversation with you? You see, too many times when we talk to an atheist, and we've had a lot of conversation, we've had some good conversation today, but I've seen too many Christians who completely lose it when they talk to them. And this is dangerous. This is dangerous to our opportunities to teach others. So when we talk about what our attitude was, what our defenses were, And how did we end the conversation? This is what this class is all about. This is what this class is all about. What are we doing? Go ahead.
May I tell you a little story?
You may tell me a little story.
I had a brother that was an atheist. He lived a very wicked life for 35 years. Everything going, drugs, drinking, the whole shebang. He moved back to Grayson County, and he started coming up and taking care of Duke's property, mowing, so on. I'd try to talk to him about his soul. He was so non-receptive. And one day he even told me, he said, well, didn't I know if I died, if there is a hell, I'd probably go to hell. But you know, I never did stay anywhere very long in one place. And I figure if I go to hell, I won't be there long. And it had about the same effect on me as if he'd spit in my face.
Mm-hmm.
And I never said another word to him about his soul for about 3 months. And one day we were sitting on the back porch, and he had just finished mowing and everything looked beautiful. And he said, Emma, you know, a person would have to be a fool to not believe in God, wouldn't they?
Absolutely.
Consequently, we started studying again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy to say he became a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he didn't understand why he wasted all those years in his life. He first thought that God wouldn't have him because of the life he'd lived.
Mm-hmm.
And showed him some examples like the Apostle Paul, Peter, different ones. And I never did say I believe this. I would just open the Bible and hand it to him and have him read it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
now which is more brave, to deny something or to make corrections in your life, you know?
Well, you know, I figured when you find it here, how can you argue with it?
Go ahead.
I found more, I've been pretty lucky not to get in too many heated with atheists, more so than people who just don't believe in conservative type mm-hmm. Bible study and that kind of thing. But I have found that I think it's easier for humans in the humanistic way that we live things and how we are, it's easier to agree or think you're a good atheist than a bad Christian or a bad religious person. Because if you're all you have to do to be a good atheist is not believe in God. You know, it's a lot easier than trying to be a good Christian. And in our society today, particularly in Americans, we don't want to admit we're not good at something. So mm-hmm. if we say, I'm agnostic or I'm atheist,
mm-hmm.
then we're good because we check the block because that's all you got to do.
Right.
But if you say, I'm a Christian, and then they look at you and say, well, you don't do anything a Christian does, then you're bad. So it's easier to just say, I'm atheist or I'm not, what, you know, I don't care, I don't believe in that. And that's what I've run into more.
Yeah.
They really do believe in God. They just don't believe enough to follow or want to follow or anything, so they say it the other way. That way they can't have, you don't have to argue with them how they live
right.
and judge them and that kind of thing. And that's
yeah.
what I run into.
Well, a lot of times if they believe in God but they don't follow anything, they're either a deist or they're agnostic, okay? And then the atheist is complete, no, there's no God. And the reason I make that separation is because, you know, with this study, these men that we're going to discuss, they would get violent with that individual if he said, well, I believe in a God, I just don't, you know. So these people do not have that belief. But let's get going back to this, our attitudes. More times than not, if I'm with somebody who has a belief, okay, because a lot of times I'm a college student over there at ECTC, when I have somebody next to me, that doesn't necessarily mean they're a Christian, right? But they have a belief in God. And a lot of times they get really heated when they find an atheist, right? But I've also been with brothers and sisters in Christ who get really heated when their belief is not heard. There's nothing to be heated about. Okay, I've taken a lot of comparative religion classes over there too. And a lot of times, in every single class, it's not a lot of times, it's every single class, God is a myth in that class. They speak about God as a myth. And that infuriates a lot of the students in those classes. A lot of them drop the class as soon as they hear that God is a myth. They drop the class. That's it. I don't want to be in there anymore. Or they fight. Okay? Now that attitude is more like Peter cutting the ear off of the soldiers and less like Jesus. Because while there's still an open door of conversation, we need to stand in it. We need to be there for it. What were our defenses? A lot of times what I've witnessed is a lot of times a Christian will say, nope, 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 I'm not going to listen to that. Why not? Why not? Now, if you're young, I would say that's dangerous, right? We just discussed why that's dangerous, because they're targeting the young. But if you're rooted in your faith, why not go ahead and hear them out? Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, well, if we know ourselves and we know how we might react to something like that, we know we might not be able to contribute to that. We might be better off to walk away from something. It depends. There's some people who are built, I think, more to stay and listen to that and talk with that than there are others. I think we all have different gifts. But if we know that something like that is going to be offensive to us or whatever, and it just makes us, well, we can't think or talk about it or whatever, and we know ourselves about that, I think we might be better off to step away from something like that in that case. It's just, I've been in situations where I know I can talk and I've seen other people reacting to that, you know, in that situation where I thought that was kind of not right. But then I talked to them later about why and understand where they were. And I could see why they reacted that way or left or whatever.
Right.
So I'm...
There is a time to kick the sand off the feet, right? There is a time to move on. But, you know, when it's idle chatter, sometimes it can be the Christian that's doing the idle chatter, right? And that's what we need to be aware of. We need to be aware that we could be the ones doing the idle chatter. We could be the ones that aren't listening, right? And I would advise against walking away, only because the one who walks away, I just defeated that man, right? I just defeated that person. But I understand also that there are different talents, right? And that may not be something that you're comfortable with. But I don't think that that's where you stop, right? If you have to walk away from it, I don't think that's where you stop. I think that's where you go and you study and you find out more. So the next time you're in that conversation, you can be able to defend God. Go
ahead. And like you said, if you shut them out and don't listen to the conversation, you're stopping that conversation short. But if you listen to their whole teaching, like you're going to be showing, it kind of unfolds on itself and unravels its own self, and you can point that out to them and help them to establish the doubts in their own.
Absolutely. And on Wednesday nights, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be letting them talk. We're going to let them, I'm going to show you what they're teaching, right? And you'll see those folds unravel. You'll see that. It's obvious. Okay, I got about 5 minutes left. So let's go to 1 Peter 3, 13 through 17. I have it clear on my page. Would you mind reading that?
Yeah. 1 Peter 3, 13 through 17. And I'll begin with 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Is, and not to be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense for everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. And when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil.
A lot of people can focus on verse 15, give a defense, and automatically those Christians will assume that means a shouting match. That means an argument. And an argument doesn't even mean an argument, does it? What does an argument mean? Philosophical term for having a discussion. What else? It's what?
Fight.
Huh?
Sometimes it can be a fight.
It can be a fight, but that's, you know, the focus of it, the definition of it, you know, comes back to evidence, right? It's not a knockout, drag out, shout. The other part is meekness and fear, right? What's meekness?
Constraint under a...
Constraint, right? Gentleness, right? So if I'm yelling at somebody because I believe in God and they don't, what's happening to my conduct, right?
Wrong.
Right, it's wrong. Right. Correct, it's wrong. Okay. Thought I saw a hand up. Okay. So let's go over to Titus, second chapter. This verse is talking about being sober-minded. It's about having the right mind. But I think the last part of it still applies to what we're talking about. I'll just read it from up there. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. Of course, it's above it. It's listed everyone else, but we're coming down to here. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say. When we're shouting, when we're not listening, right? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. If we're listening to them, they are going to use offensive words. They're going to talk about God, right? Like he doesn't exist. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to say things that's going to irritate you. And you can either act like David and go out and kill the Philistine, right? Grab your five rocks. Or you could be like the great physician and understand that they need to be saved. Any thoughts?
Ephesians 6.
Do you have that right there?
13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Then he lists all of our weapons.
All of our weapons.
And all of them are the same that Christ used when Satan himself's confronting him. Mm-hmm. We just need to imitate Christ.
Imitate Christ, absolutely.
You know, you think about your earlier statement, how that God is not of this world. And I think for me, that builds my confidence in the wisdom of God, that he came into this world. Mm-hmm. And that there is evidence of that. Mm-hmm. So for me, I guess that's one of the places that I go.
Right, absolutely. Any other thoughts or comments? We have about 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Eddie's talked about something with his travels and different things. You know, people understand different things differently based on their background. So how you talk to one person that is atheist is different than another. And sometimes we need to be aware of how we come off, or our mannerisms, or our aggressiveness, or our non-aggressiveness. That may work for this person. I grew up in the North. Some of what we say in the North doesn't work in the South. It just doesn't happen. Whereas, and it's just because we talk differently. You know, for my mother might say something, you know, Rebecca, when we first got married, didn't understand. It was like, I don't understand it. But it's a North, you know, so we need to be, if we're going to do these type of things and be part of that, we need to be aware of one, how we come off. Because, yes, we're using the scriptures and you just read about it. But we also need to make sure of that. And I, like I said, I think I see that a lot because I'm just where I grew up. You were very blunt,
right?
And that didn't always go over well when you were not with that with people from the North,
right?
That's my thing,
right? We're gonna there's a conversation, a recorded conversation. I mean, it's a video of Dr. Dawkins and one of his little followers, Randy. I don't remember his name, we'll talk about him again. But the entire time, this medical doctor named Randy, again, his last name escapes me, cannot stop referring to life as being designed. Dr. Dawkins consistently corrects him. Well, we can't say designed. He consistently corrects him, this medical doctor. He's like, you're right, I can't do that. And we'll come back up to it with the evolution of thought. Appreciate your comments.